All right, Matthew chapter 11, is that good? This is just for recording. Okay, great. Matthew chapter 11. Very familiar passage, and I'm glad that this was assigned to me to teach, but I think it's very helpful. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. The topic they asked me to speak about is how to keep a servant's heart. How to keep a servant's heart. And I'll probably emphasize more about the servant's part than I will the heart part. I like what Dean Smith said when he had one of the greatest recruiting freshman teams. And as they all gathered around the great basketball coach, he says, "I will teach you how to play basketball." He said, "I'll never tell you to hustle. If you don't bring that, you shouldn't be here." I like that statement because in the ministry, in all reality, gentlemen, if we don't have the heart, then we shouldn't be here. We should just not be here. It's not a place to make money. It's not a place to get a name. It's not a place to glorify self. It's really to have a heart for others. So I'm taking for granted the heart part, but how to keep in that busyness of being a servant, about being a servant. And sad is the day when we go to a church and we serve them, and somewhere along the line, we kind of think they ought to take care of us. That's a horrible turning point in the ministry. How does that happen? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I always enjoy Pastor Chappell's emphasis on the Word of God. And I think if you ever hear John Getz preach, I think you enjoy his emphasis on the Word of God. And sometimes you just need to slow down, especially even in familiar verses or familiar texts, and just slow down and just kind of see what God is trying to say. Look at the verses again, please. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that," what's the next word? Labor. And, notice that conjunction. And are heavy what? Labor. But listen to what he says. "And I will give you rest." He meant that. He meant that. "I will give you rest." Rest. In general conversations, speaking, helping, talking to people, I hear this often. "How you doing?" I'm tired. Sometimes I hear it too often. Can I ask you an honest question? If Jesus could use present-day vernacular, he may not say, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, all ye that labor and heavy laden." He may just say this: "Are you tired? Are you tired?" Here's a good question to ask. Why are you tired? Why are we tired? Because when Jesus says, "I will give you rest," it's an amazing statement. There's no doubt in my mind, I can say this, I say it often. I love Brother Chappell. He knows that. I think it's good to say this. I have no sense of, like, how many are you running and how many am I running? And we go back 27 years ago. I can tell you, sitting in a parking lot, and we just pulled in and he was driving. I was in the passenger seat. He said, before we get out, he said these words. And he said, how do you baptize so many people? And he wasn't inquiring about a work ethic or whatever. Just how do you get things done? And I pray in the sense of this meeting here that you and I would continue to have a servant's heart, because that would be Pastor's Chapel desire, is that we'd have that servant leadership, that servant's heart, that we serve our Savior the way God desired for us to serve. So what happens to us, and why are we tired? Why is the next generation tired? I don't mind getting tired. I don't. I just don't want to live that way. I don't want to live that way. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, I pray earnestly in this session that it will not just be another session, not just be another few notes to take, but in all reality, why do we get out of the ministry? In all reality, why do we get tired and we need a break? And I've sensed so much more just lately where people are taking a year off or a couple years off. And Lord, why would that be? I guess because we got tired. And Lord, I pray for your Spirit to speak to us individually, me first and every other one. Lord, I want to thank you for the amenities of living in America, that little Chandler is in a hospital, that he has a medical team of anesthesiologists, surgeons, and doctors, and nurses, and personnel. That's not so in most of the world. So, Lord, you've already showed your favor. Lord, being a grandparent, as Billy Chapel myself, there's times we feel defenseless, useless, and yet we come to you, and that's all we ever need to do. And so, Lord, I do ask for a very special, special movement of you. Lord, it could be this thought spoken of your mind. It could be used in a surgery. It could be used in the hands of a surgeon, Lord. It could be just, I don't know, you just started breathing so fine, we don't have to do anything. But we do know this, that you are the great physician. Well, I just pray in this room right here that we be sincere about that. See, if that was somebody's son in this room or somebody's grandchild in this room, it'd make a whole difference as of the seriousness of prayer. And God Almighty, would you just do that which no man can do? Hear our prayers, please. For Christ's sake, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Once you hear Jesus Christ say those words again, are you tired? Are you tired? And he says these words, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Galatians 6:9, be not weary and well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. It was quoted this morning. Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. So God knows that we have a ministry he wants us to have. As the great football coach Vince Lombardi said these words, fatigue makes cowards of us all. And once you hear that vernacular of that coach, fatigue makes cowards of us all. And when we get tired, and we get tired of ministry, and we get tired of serving, we withdraw ourselves, and pretty soon we get frustrated with not doing what we should do. So where does that tiredness come from? I had a man call me that we helped him in a little town next to us and helped him get the church started, and took our church up there and went sowing and passed out tracts and became the pastor. He's a good man, a very sincere man. He got involved in the work, and he ran for a couple of years, and about another year of kind of stabling out, and next year was just kind of rough. And he came to me, but he expressed his feelings very sincerely, and he said these words, I'm sick and tired of being hurt. I looked at him, he says, I'm sick and tired of being hurt. He says, Brother Rue, I go out there and I lead these people to Christ, and I bring them to church, I teach them principles, they get better, and after they get their life better, they just leave. And he said, I'm sick and tired of getting hurt. When I heard that phrase, I thought, well, as soon as you get sick and tired of being hurt, you'll soon be helping no more. Because that's what we do. We give ourselves to other people. I want to say it again. We give ourselves. But what do you do with Jesus Christ? You use him. You use his atonement. You use his power. We use up Christ, and we should. He's our power. You know what pastors get? They get used. You get used. Isn't that great? We're the servants. We get to be used. That's what we're there for. I don't know about you, but when my phone rings at 3 a.m. in the morning, they always say these same words. Hey, did I wake you? No, the phone woke me up, right? You know? But now I know who you are. Amen, okay? And just for maybe help here, I am on the West Coast, okay? Do you know that there's a 3-hour difference? All right? Amen. And so sometimes when you East Coast guys call me, okay, at what's just at 8 o'clock your time, do you understand that's only 5 o'clock my time in the morning? And you want me to sound nice and kind and happy to you, okay? And so I try my very best to muster up like I've been up since three praying. That's not true though, okay? So what do? About 10 o'clock my time, I call you back, okay? So that's 1 o'clock your time and see how you're doing, amen. I am just like everybody else here. I struggle in my daily life. I am a, don't take this wrongly, Mary Martha. I'm a Mary. I love my Savior. I do. I sing to Him every day. I love Him every day. I take a lot of time with Him. But that Martha thing gets to me. In a horrible, I could be at the very feet of Christ and worship Him. And there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. Sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. Tells me of His Savior's love who died to set me free. Tells me of that precious blood. Oh, the sinner's perfectly. Oh, how I love Jesus. And I enjoy every minute I get to bask at His feet and tell Him how great and wonderful He is. But then my mind said, well, you got a lot of work to do. So then I put on my I don't like saying this from California, okay, but I put on my Martha hat over here, okay? So then I have the Mary hat and the Martha hat. Then I'm over here doing the Martha hat, and I'm doing this and building this building and planning this and this bus ministry. And pretty soon I thought, I need to go back to being Mary. And there's a struggle over there. May I say this? Jesus Christ is trying to help us and benefit us. He literally gives us the answer there, and He says that you need to take my yoke. And if we take His yoke, then He says, I will give you rest. So first of all, we need to understand the very concept of a yoke. It is usually a double harness where two can enter in. And you have heard of a yoke of oxen or maybe even a team of horses such as a chariot. And they put themselves together to have that synergy to get the project done. We would use that maybe in the terms of coupling together for service. In the Bible, that's really the best definition. A yoke is coupling together for service. So whether it be two oxen to plow a field, whether it be horses in that chariot to lead them to war, or a man and woman that are equally yoked together, and to do that as a man and woman to serve the Savior, that's where we are yoked. But watch this. For you and I is being yoked with Jesus Christ in order to serve the people. So how do we keep a servant's heart down the road? How do we stay in the ministry? How do we have that sweetness, that honeymoon period, on that longevity time? It's all because we are yoked with Jesus Christ. And that's what He wants to emphasize. Take my yoke upon you. Number two, realize and understand the different types of yokes. If I take your Bible, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 28. Jeremiah, please, in chapter 28. And this may be the defining thing that will help us, but Jeremiah, please, in chapter 28. There's a long story here about Hananiah and Zedekiah, and Jeremiah comes in also. So look at verse number, I'll just hit them quickly, verse number 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Skip down to verse 4. And I'll bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Even verse 6, even the prophet Jeremiah said amen. Verse 10. Then Hananiah, the prophet, took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. So here's Jeremiah. We know that he was in stocks and bonds, and he was in this yoke. And here's this preacher, Hananiah, the prophet, and he breaks the yoke off of him. Verse number 11. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Now, let's just listen to the story. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the very neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yoke of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put my put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beasts of the field also. Here we go. Then said the prophet Jeremiah to Hananiah, the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest his people to trust in a lie. I think any time an older pastor speaks to younger pastors, you want to admonish them, you can't believe everything you hear. Amen. Even though I have a tremendously deep respect of the men who stood last night, Brother Bassett and Brother Kim and many others. But may I just heed and give warning, be careful. Because here's a man of God that spoke, but did not give wisdom. That's the number one. We need to understand the very concept of yoke. Number two, we need to realize and understand the different types of yoke. May I just give you this easily? There are yokes of wood. Likewise, there are yokes of iron. The wooden yoke is a symbol of serving with God. The wooden yoke was a symbol of serving with God. Jesus spoke about the yoke, and he talks about teaming together service. But likewise, there's a yoke of iron that Jeremiah describes, and the yoke of iron was a symbol for that of serving the world. Nebuchadnezzar was a symbolism of the world, and so we have the yokes of wood that you and I would yoke ourselves into to serve God. But watch this. We also have yokes of iron, and that if we're not careful, we yoke into giving lives to serve the world. Can I have your undivided attention just for a moment? I'll say this. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 is a very, very important verse. No man can serve two masters at the same time. I'll say that much again. No man, that means you're not the exception. No man can serve two masters at the same time. For either he will hate the one and love to the other. Either take to the one and hold to the one and leave the other. For no man can serve God and mammon. We don't use the word mammon anymore, but the word mammon is a worldly term of the world. We don't say, what in the mammon's wrong with you? We say, what in the world's wrong with you? But mammon describes the world. Watch this. That verse alone bothers me because the Bible says no man can serve both. Okay, I understand that. But the part that bothers me is that you'll hate the one. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not going to hate like serving God, things like that. Well, the Bible says we will. You know how many preachers I've known left the ministry who hate it? Hate all the rules? Excuse me, I didn't think there were rules in the first place. See, rules have never bothered me. See, every relationship mandates its own set of rules. Don't forget that every relationship mandates its own set of rules. You a married man? Is your wife allowed to text other men? Did you tell her that? You didn't tell her that? Are you allowed to text other women? No, sir. Did she tell you not to? So you expected it. So in your own relationship, you just made your own set of rules because you loved her. See, I love him. I don't care about rules. We got to look like this. You got to do this. You got to go here. You got to do this. I don't care. I always shave my head, wear a white robe, and sell orange flowers in the airport if you ask me to do it. And I would be good at it, too, I promise you, okay? If that's all he wanted me to do, I'd be glad to do that. Here's my heart to other pastors. I don't want to see you leave the ministry. But much more than that, I don't want you to hate him. I don't want you to hate him. Because that leaves a long legacy for those who know you. Boy, my dad got bitter. He got out of the ministry, and boy, don't talk to my dad. Boy, my mom got bent out because, you know, the ministry's taking my dad away, and they didn't do well. My mom's frustrated. Boy, she hates going to church. We have those problems. We never really understood about yoking. Understand the yoke. Understand, a yoke with wood is serving God, a yoke of iron is serving the world. Number three, it is imperative to know that we have a choice and the yokes that we wear. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 6. I want you to see this. Romans chapter 6. We have our choices. I know a lot of people say this, but I hear it all the time. I'm tired. I know tired people run the world. And again, I don't mind being tired. I don't mind getting tired. I just don't want to live tired. I don't want to live that way. I definitely don't want my wife to live that way. I don't want to drag my family around this country and make them live that way. I want them to enjoy every bit of the ministry. I am privileged to have my son here, and he's sitting in this situation, in this meeting. Excuse me. A year ago, I was at his home, and as he asked me to speak to some young pastors, one thing he did say, he said, one thing my dad did do in our home, he made the ministry look so good. He made the ministry look so good. May I say this? The ministry is so good. And just remember this, that there's 100 people who love to have the job that you have right now. So before we complain a whole lot about, maybe God has someone lined up to take it already. Yeah, we need the paycheck, don't we, guys? Amen, okay. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Here we go. Now listen. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that from the doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, it is amazing that we will have the choice of what we will use our hands and our desires and our life. We will make our choice about what we will serve or whom we will serve. And we can serve the world, that would be the yoke of iron, or we can serve the Lord, that would be the yoke of wood. And I hear it all the time, well, I just don't like the rules. I don't like all the restrictions. I don't like the lifestyle. You have to live in the fishbowl all the time. I just want to be me. May I just say this? I'm trying to hope never to be me. I'm very honest about that. I'm not the typical one that says, which my son can boast, you know, I've never drank, I've never smoked, I never saw this, never saw that. He's got a very pure testimony. God, thank God for that. But see, I can't say that. I came from that world. My dad was married 4 times. My mother was married 3. My mother's murdered, shot 5 times in front seat of a car. My stepfather committed suicide. I can't tell you how many places I live and what I've done. I can't tell you what those people did sometimes. May I just say something? And you want to go there? You want to see what that life is? May I just say this? Yes, we do carry our burdens, don't we? We carry our burdens about how we will, we have to go to church and we have to go soul winning and we have to read our Bible and we have to have a prayer life and we have to dress the part, we have to look out, we have to do all those things. Can I just honestly say this? I'd rather have that yoke of having to go to church and then what's it, not being able to go to church. I'd rather have the yoke of going to church than being so stoned or high you don't know what church is. I'm just saying, every bit has a problem. I'd rather have the problems of wearing this yoke over here and then wearing that yoke over there. See, we're over here and we get burdened by the work and we get tired in the work and we get maybe flustered by the work. But I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot better than having the problems of the world over here. One of the things we hear often, you've got to keep a balance in your ministry. You better believe it. Someone says, how do you balance ministry and family? That's not a question. Family comes first. Amen. You lose your family, you don't have a ministry. So there is no balance. You just take care of your family. I mean, I said, they'll drive miles to come and hear you. They'll come miles and just watch how you love your wife and how you take care of your kids. And boy, I like to have that. Not long ago, someone just said, Brother Rua, I was back in my hometown, and they said these words, Brother Rua, I would give the world to have your life. I said, yeah, that's what it cost me. You can have the world. Yeah. Yeah. Gentlemen, you'll take criticism, you'll take blame, you'll take a lot of heartache for being in the ministry, and they'll make fun of you. Well, you can't drink this, and you can't drink that. Well, I can drink Diet Coke. I can drink Coke. You can't drink anything. I can drink a lot of things. I'm just not going to drink booze.
Amen.
Right. So I just can't drink booze. Yeah. It is one of the 16 qualifications, gentlemen, just to remind you, okay? It's in there someplace. Yeah. It's in there. Right, I don't do those things.
Amen.
But see, I don't look at those as rules, as something that's hoarded me or taken me down. It's a way just to enjoy what God has given for us. Understand the choice. We can either be servants of sin or we can be servants of righteousness. And what we do is what we do because we choose to do it. long day ago, we had something called personal responsibility. We have lost that today. Brother Cluth, I'd have to believe if anybody see that in the courtroom, you're probably seeing that more than anybody else. People do not take responsibility of their own actions. Do you know the reason why we don't pray? Because we choose not to pray. Do you know why we do not go sowing? Because we choose not to go sowing. Do you know why we are maybe less than at our best? Because we choose to do so. That's what it comes down to. And we can choose to either be the servants of righteousness or we can choose to be the servants of sin. May I say, one's going to wear the fire out of you.
All right.
One is going to wear you out because you're not created to do that. Pastor, how do we become in longevity a servant that has a heart? You have to be yoked with him. To be yoked with him. It is wise to choose the yoke of wood over the yoke of iron. We will all choose to bear a yoke, so choose wisely what yoke you desire. I want to get into one last part of this, please. Be careful of false teachers. Be careful of false preachers. I was in a car one day, and I was riding with Brother Hiles, and he just preached in my church, and we're going back to the airport together, and I had definitely loved the man, and I was there for some of the greatest pinnacle years at Hiles Anderson College. I mention that every once in a while. I graduated from college. I did. People always ask me what year. My senior year is what year I graduated, so that always works out best. Brother Hiles was always wise. He'd always look up and have a secretary look up all about the student, where he worked, what he did, and so he had a lot of conversation. And then I said, Brother Hiles, I said, you always admonish us not to read this, not to read this, not to read this. I said, for you to say that, you had to read it. He goes, oh yeah, Brother Rue, I read it. I said, Brother Hiles, then why don't you, I mean, if you have the same Holy Spirit tell you that's not right, then why can't you allow me to have the same Holy Spirit tell me that's not right? He goes, oh, I believe you're right. I believe you're good. And you can read it and you say that's not right and this is right. He said, out of the college I have, he said, I'd probably lose over 2,000 preacher boys. Because they will not discern. You're going to hear a lot of things, gentlemen. Brother Chappell has already alluded to it several times. Whether it be on the internet or blog, and he says it's really hard to build New Testament church without using New Testament methods to do so. Can I just say it comes down to hard work, doesn't it? It does come down. It comes down to knocking on doors. It comes down to taking a New Testament sowing Bible and showing someone how to get saved and then writing them a letter and inviting them to the church and then seeing them baptized. Mm-hmm. And then my son, I quote him often. I say this, it's one thing to get yourself diligent to go sowing. I'm in a town of 87,000 people, nearly 100,000 college in. So I'm in a town of 100,000 people. There's a lot of people that need to be saved. The harvest is white. The problem is not with the harvest. Problems all with the field. Problems with the laborers. And so not only what's this, we have to be diligent to work ourselves to go win lost souls to Christ. That's hard enough. But this, get them baptized, you have to promise them the moon to get them baptized. Yeah. I mean, you have to promise them, look, I'll give you a ride, I'll give you a Slurpee if you want that, or whatever you want, you know, I'll get you to church. And here's what my son says, hey, but watch this. You try to give him a discipleship for 20 weeks in a row. That's tenacious. Yes, it is. It is. He that desireth the work of him is desireth a good work. He desireth the office of his desire a good work. I'm going to finish up. I'm going to just say this. Would you be very careful about all that you hear? I have been in our church 28 years, and I love it. I love the ministry. I'm going to take just a few more minutes to get very personal with you, all right? Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think I can say kindly, at least fairly, that I'm not a sluggard. I'm not a slothful person. I get up early and I work at it. I have my devotions, I have my Bible time, and I have my prayer time. I go to a busy ministry and I work that ministry, and I get to teach at a college. I get to preach sometimes some places, and so I think we can say we're busy, okay? Listen, so I have discarded the yoke of iron, and now I'm in the yoke of wood. Now, I believe that probably the vast majority of everyone here is in the yoke of wood, and you have Christ with you. So why are you still tired? Number one, pride. It's our biggest enemy. Do you know I can be in a yoke and still try to get ahead of who's in the yoke with me? I know it's a piece of wood. I know Christ is in it. And I know we're a team. But, you know, sometimes I can think I can get out there just a little bit farther ahead myself. And that means I'll bear the brunt of the burden personally. First person I said when I walked into the building last night, they said, "Brother Rule, great to have you here. Looking forward to it." I said, "No. I already know more than I'm doing right now. I'm going to get more guilty in a few more days here." It's true, though, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. We're not supposed to compare, but everyone does. Not wrongfully. You walk in, you go, "Whoa, sure would be nice to have this." I don't know. I preached at a camp last year. I'll get on a plane tomorrow because there was a cancellation. The guy asked me to help him out, and he helped me out last year, so I'll go fly there, Arkansas, and I'll fly back here to catch the last day here. Someone has to preach at camps. That's where you get all the kids to come to colleges. Someone has to preach in the churches. We always just want something else or some, really? I think Paul Chow has been very good to me. A long time ago we settled, I'm not in competition with you. So it doesn't bother me. I want to be challenged. I want to do more. But it doesn't bother me. Because if it bothered me, that'd be my pride. Yeah. That'd be my pride. I should have a bigger church. I should be doing more. Gentlemen, you got to let that thing go. Johnny Pope told me this. The greatest day of my life was when I realized I wasn't Jack Hiles. Johnny's doing pretty good. He's all right. You get into that yoke, and you can be in the right yoke, and you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't run around, you don't harm all the other stuff. Okay, so you're in the right yoke. But sometimes you try to get your head out there a little too far of who's in the yoke with you, and that's pride. That's pride. I love to look at Jesus Christ. When I entered him into my life, I was on a bicycle, and he got on the back seat, and he started pedaling. I added God to my life. I got saved. He got on my back seat, started pedaling. No one can pedal like God can pedal. Yeah, man, I'm doing things I never thought I'd be able to do. This is awesome. I'm kind of leisure. He saved my soul. I'm out of hell. I'm going to heaven. This is the greatest day of my life. I can't believe this. I'm just enjoying my life and salvation just like that. Then one day we slowed the bike down, and God got off, and he said, "Let me sit in front."
Yeah. All right.
And when he got on front, I was sitting in the back. He still pedaled very well. I didn't let him know, but I didn't pedal a whole lot. I couldn't believe where we're going. He took me places I never thought I'd ever go. And we did things I never thought I'd ever do, all because I let him get in front.
Amen. Amen.
Gotta fight pride. Gotta fight pride. Number two, you got to fight envy. You got to fight envy. I like the old farmer said, about marriage, "I'd rather go through life wishing for something I did not have rather than having something I did not want." Wise farmer. Wise farmer. Number three, and I'm all done. In that yoke with Christ, you've got to watch for pride. Number two, you got to watch for envy. Number three, you got to watch for hypocrisy. What does that mean? It means we kind of tell everybody else we're doing more than we're really doing. It means we're living a life that probably were not living up to. I've never claimed to be a good Christian. In fact, in all my years of being a Christian, I've never one time claimed being a good Christian. Now, I'm better than I used to be. But I'm not near what God wants me to be. And it was stated today, I believe, by Brother Getch, your integrity will be found out soon. Brother Ouellette said, I'd rather get to your place and be more than you thought instead of someone trying to build me up and be less what you thought. And gentlemen, I say we need to be very careful of this hypocrisy, not just to others, but to ourselves, that we're doing such a great work. I hear people introduce me, he's doing such a great work. Can I tell you, gentlemen, I work for a great God, but I'm in a town of nearly 100,000 people. I don't have 1% of the people come to my church. I'm doing a great job? No, I'm not. I might have 70 people, maybe 100 during the whole week while soul winning. That's a pretty good soul winning church. You know something? We're not burning up the town. And I can get caught up in hypocrisy personally. May I say this? But that's not going to make the cart go any faster. How do we keep a servant's heart? Know what a yoke is. Join in that yoke with Christ. Leave the yoke of the iron from the world. Make that choice of I'm going to serve God. And then even though we're in a yoke of with Christ, understand that pride can get our neck out there farther where he's not doing the work. Sometimes he has to pull you back. That thing about envy, and that'll drive us different ways because we saw something. The last one is just pure hypocrisy. We're just not pulling our load. I'll say this in close. There's nothing like serving the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. There's nothing greater I do. I woke up this morning, I said these words, I get to do this today. I don't have to do this today. I don't have to read my Bible. I get to read my Bible. I don't have to go soul-winning. I get to go soul-winning. I had a little young man, 18 years of age, said, I'm going to boot camp. Can I come and see you? I said, sure. And so his mother dropped him off and get ready to go to the airport. And I said, are you ready for boot camp? He said, I don't know. I said, why do you want to see me? He said, I need to be ready. I said, something happens. She goes, I know. I want to talk about that. I said, good. Where's mother walked in? And so during the course of the next about 40 minutes, I got to lead this young man, 18 years old, to Christ. And his mother, I looked at her and said, have you ever done this? She goes, no, I think I know why I'm here today. Mom trusted Christ as her Savior. They both got baptized this Sunday. May I just say this? I do nothing better than serve the Lord. I do nothing better than serve the Lord. Gentlemen, we get to be in the ministry. And I pray very sincerely that you'll keep a servant's heart. You will serve continually. So you won't get tired. You may get tired, but don't live that way. How do you do that? I get in the right yoke, letting Christ lead. You'll find out the ministry is the greatest thing